Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I was sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Go there every day, look at all his information, college and pro, and all the podcasts. It is amazing they get all that done every day, but they do. LandryFootball.com. Chris, first question from John on Twitter says, was Chris on the staff, LSU staff, in 86 when the Tigers took down Notre Dame 21-19 in the Sugar Bowl?
I was on the staff in 1986. Yes, we beat them, and then we ended up going to the Sugar Bowl as a result of beating
them.
Oh,
that's right. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. It was on the Coach Orange Parker's staff. Yep, remember it finally. Really good team. Obviously a great coach. We lost Coach Orange Parker a few years ago now. Remind me to tell you the story. Probably not the time today, but how Coach Ornsberger helped me convince Nick Saban to take the LSU job, because that you know the story. I tried to get Nick the job when they hired DiNardo at LSU, and then the second time around it was a little bit of a struggle to get him. And it was Coach Ornsberger who had left LSU to become the athletic director at Florida, and he hired Steve Spurrier shortly thereafter. And you know, Coach Ornsberger was a real ace in the hole to convince Nick to come in, and he didn't even know Nick Saban. So it's an interesting story I'll tell you one time. But, yeah, fond memories. Coach Ornsberger was something else. And when people tell me that Saban and Belichick, you work with those guys and personalities, I got to tell you, those guys are cheerful personalities compared to Coach Ornsberger. He could be a persimmon, I can tell you that, but loved him dearly.
LSU won it in 84 and 86, the league, the SEC. Was 86 his last year before he left for Florida?
Yes, the years are coming together. Yeah, was it 87, Bill? You're trusting my memory there. When he was promoted right around that, I think maybe he had one more year.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember because we had the transition when he ended up, you know, the famous thing was he went to Florida. He went to visit Florida, Bill, and I can't remember the year. I mean, I can't remember that next year or not. Get this. And how about this for a story? Could you imagine the internet today if it happened in the internet? He left during 2 days to go to Florida to visit, to interview.
Wow.
With the Florida administration.
Wow.
So it was like we were there going to practice, and like, you know, all the coaches kind of, you know, called him, where's the old man? We didn't. He wasn't there. And how's that for a story? Can you imagine that? You know, August practice, he left in the early part of fall practice, and he came back, and I remember the media was asking him about that, and he said, he kept saying, I was interested in talking. I was interested in talking. And it was so funny because he told him, he said, ask your questions now, because after this press conference, I ain't going to talk about it anymore. And somebody asked him a question. I'm not going to talk about that.
Now,
he said, we're going to talk about it now because we're not going to talk about it anymore. But we didn't talk about it.
You know what? In today's climate, Chris, you don't take that trip based on social media.
No, I mean.
Period.
Could you imagine today any coach anywhere at a major school in fall practice in August when all the going to, you know, and this was unusual. He was interviewing for an athletic director job. So it wasn't like, you know, he would never interview for another coaching job at that point because the coaching cycle. But he was interviewing in Florida for the AD job, which you can hire an AD at any point in time. So that's what made it unusual, but really unusual. Anyway, I don't know. I didn't mean to take it that direction. But, yes, I was there. Remember it fondly. Got our butts kicked
Tiger.
Out of the basket twice. But
yeah. Tiger on Twitter here, big Florida fan, says, ask Chris his assessment of Kyle Trask and the way he played for Florida and looking forward as well.
I thought he sparked him. It's always a different situation. It's one thing to come off as a relief pitcher and to spark a team, and it's another thing to have control of the team. Now you're the leader. You get the full game plan. Can you absorb it? People can prepare for you just as you get prepared. So I am cautiously optimistic. I think he can help spark this offense along with Emory Jones because I think that the offense wasn't good enough for Florida to potentially go in and, say, beat an LSU. And I still don't know if they are, but I actually like their chances more. I did not like the way Felipe played against really good defenses under pressure moments. I thought he made big plays, but I thought he made big mistakes. I think, emphasis on I think, that Trask will protect the football more. They've got to run the football better there, but I actually think there is a chance that the offense might be a little bit better because it might be a little bit less mistake prone. We'll see.
Soul Street Coffee says, Bill, ask Chris about the coaching malpractice by Pat Narduzzi. How does a head coach not know game situations? 4th-and-1 late, they're down 7, miss the field goal, lose the game.
Well, I think he understood the situation. I think what he made was, in my opinion, I'm going for it there, but what it tells me, he didn't have much confidence in his team getting it in. Now, I think you got to go for it there. Personally, let me say this in general, not in this situation, but I think it brings up a good point. In situations like that, it's more than just, well, you got to go for it there. You got to know your team. And while a coach is not going to come out and say something negative about, well, I didn't trust this. But the reality is if you're not getting movement off the line of scrimmage and you're not executing well, like in that case, they were throwing it well against Penn State, but at that compressed part of the field, I didn't think he had any confidence in getting in the end zone. I know what he decided. I don't necessarily agree with it. I'm gonna kick 3 here. I'm going to rely on my defense to get the ball back, and hopefully I can get a big play. Because inside the red zone, we're not effectively moving it. Now, I still think you gotta go for it there. You gotta make it. And if you don't make it, you make them go on the long field. I disagree with the decision, but I understand at least what he was thinking. And a lot of times, if you don't feel confident and you're not successful, you know you got to get out of there and you got to figure out the better way. But I didn't agree with it.
Randy here on Twitter. Ask Chris if he thinks Virginia Tech will be able to turn their season around.
I tell you, I'm really concerned, and I'm a little bit perplexed that it is not taking an upturn. I just so high on Justin. I think he's a really bright offensive mind. I don't know. Well, I mean, I don't know why they've not been able to find the pieces on offense that I think is necessary for him to run his offense. But, look, I got to tell you, I know in speaking with somebody on the staff, they were really happy to have that open date because it's back to the drawing board. I honestly don't have the answer to that. I'm very concerned how they've looked, and I don't know that it's going to get appreciably better through the bye week, but I'm getting a little concerned about how that's playing out. Now, it's going to be interesting. Bud stepping aside at the end of this year. It's going to be interesting the rest of the year and the rest of the offseason because, you know, not only is he struggling, but do we all across the state, you got Brockle that's doing one hell of a coaching job there at Virginia. That's not going over well there.
Jason on Twitter, ask Chris how concerned Alabama should be starting four true freshmen on defense and the challenges that presents for Saban and staff.
I think it's concerning, not so much that it's going to cost them a game on their regular season schedule, although I would say by the time in November, LSU's a threat, and there are other teams that may be a little bit more of a threat, but I would be real concerned because here's the thing. Just because you're young, just because you're talented, when you're young and inexperienced, it really reduces what you can do. Like, for example, against South Carolina, they're not running a lot. They're not making adjustments. And so what you can do against a young front like this is you can give some pre-snap looks that are false looks that morph into different looks post-snap, and they're not going to be able to adjust like a veteran defense would. So it is overly reliant on, okay, their ability to see ball, chase ball, make play, which is going to get them out of position some. It there's no quick fix. You can't sit there and say, oh, boy, yeah, we're going to sit there. We're going to get it done this week. No, it's incremental improvement that you probably won't see from the naked eye as a fan every week. You know, it's just a little bit, and you hope you build on it each and every day. So by the time at the end of the year here is you can do a lot more things. But I'll just say this. They certainly would not be ready to play playoff football right now because they would not fare very well because they're just that young. They're talented, but that's what coaching is. It's why it's such a, you know, elite program because they have really good talent. But they can coach up that talent. But this is a big challenge, a really big.
Chris, you got a couple minutes on the other side?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. We will let you know how you can get all his information, including the podcast. On the other side, more questions for Chris. Goggin Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. We're looking live at this bumper-to-bumper traffic here on 40 westbound, trying to get past Spence Lane. They've got that two-car fender bender over to the right-hand side. 24 E's now between White Creek Pike and OHB. There's a crash that'll slow you down a bit as you come in from Clarksville, Old Lebanon Dirt Road at Tulip Grove. That's a wreck. Also getting some attention there in Hermitage, 440 westbound near Nolensville Pike, checking a crash in that construction zone. Hey, celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest, September 21st through October 28th. More details at obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Right now, the Home Depot makes replacing your old carpet easy. With more styles and colors to choose from, there's no better time to buy. With free installation on any carpet purchase of $499 or more, all by licensed local pros. Backed for life, today is the day for doing and saving with free carpet installation only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. For a limited time, $499 minimum purchase required, typically $699. For license information, visit homedepot.com/license numbers. Valid through November 6, 2019.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-park. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call, 615-724-1762, or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
Innsworth is a kindergarten through 12th grade, co-educational independent school located on two campuses in Nashville, Tennessee. The school incorporates a nurturing community with a challenging program to create a unique, joyful environment where students can develop the intellectual agility, self-confidence, and discipline they need to excel. Visit our website at innsworth.com to learn more.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
And your listeners need to know that the nicest guy at SEC Media Days is Johnny Ballpark Franks.
You've always been so kind.
It's just true. It's easy to tell the truth, Johnny.
Johnny Ballpark Franks Show.
I'm constantly amazed when I drive in. I often stay at the Omni downtown.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
The home of commitments and other stuff. The Bill King Show.
Gog and Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel, will be in that neighborhood tomorrow. About a block away, Southern Steak and Oyster to do the show. Crazy Charlie, Bill Bender hanging out. Bryce Atkinson as well, hour number one on Friday. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Kevin has this question. Chris, how can Tennessee scheme around Florida's defensive ends and their pass rush?
Well, you know, I think one of the things you have to do in the passing game, you have to get the ball out real quick. I think that if you can't block the front, then you got to get the ball out quick. You got to run draw plays. You've got to use their strength, which is getting upfield against them. So I think a lot of draws, a lot of screens, some middle screens. You got to get the ball out quick. And certainly if you do that, you can slow down the pass rush by formation and by play design because they tend to not tee off on you. What you cannot do is getting third and long. You get in third and long, you're dead. Because if you can't block them, you're going to get, ball's going to come out too quick. It's going to be interceptions, sacks, negative plays. So you got to stay on schedule early, on early downs. And I think that you've got to do a good job on second and maybe third down, kind of working the screen game. People always complain about, well, I can't understand it. It's third and five, third and six, and, they're running a screen. You got to run a route. Well, you can only run a route deeper than the sticks if you've got the protection that can allow it to happen. So you got to be able to win at the receiver position, and that's going to be quite a challenge here in this game for them.
Steven down in the ATL says, ask Chris about the blocking scheme Alabama is using. He said Chris gave a great answer on his podcast.
Well, Alabama is playing to the strength of their team, which is their great receivers and their great quarterback. So in running this scheme, some of the RPO concepts and all the slants and the double slants, it's great design, by the way, and they're just hitting on all cylinders in the passing game. This blocking scheme is built towards pass protection. And when you do that, and it's exciting and it's fun, and I get all that, but the more you do that, the less time you have in practice to work on coming off the ball with a flat back, rolling your hips, and being dominant run blockers. It's hard to serve two masters. You don't have enough practice time. And then when you get into games, I think that ideally they'd like to establish the run more and be able to improve their ability to come off the ball as run blockers. But there's also that difficult dynamic of we need to make sure that we don't put this game in peril. So I think they want to come out. They want to get a lead. I think ultimately they like to run the ball. But then when they run it, because they haven't worked on it enough, because there's not enough time in a 20-hour practice week, they stall a little bit. Well, you stall, then you all of a sudden now you're putting a young defense, which we just talked about last segment, on the field, more snaps. Then all of a sudden what's a three-possession game becomes a one-possession game, and then you got a problem. So I think it's a fine line between trying to get your team better at learning how to be a good four-minute offense and a good run-blocking team, but without running the risk of losing a game that if you don't watch it, you could, because you're dealing with youth on defense. You're dealing with the ability to be able to beat any one of these teams with a passing game. But I think for them to win to give them the best chance of winning a championship, and that's Oklahoma, that's Alabama, that's anybody, is I think it's one of the fundamental ways that I grade teams, is what is their ability to run a four-minute offense? Because you're going to have to do that. Whether you're a great team like Oklahoma that's come up short, or a team that's not playing very well, that's had a lot of problems like Florida State, they're all suffering the same issues. The greater the tempo, the worse your defense will be production-wise. It's just as simple as that. It's like water sinking its level. That's going to be – now, how can you manipulate that to where you have the best combination of an effective passing game, but slow down the tempo, work the huddle, you know, be able to throw off play action, be able to just score. But sometimes, Bill, the best way to win is to score at the end of a 5 or 6 minute drive, unless obviously you're in 2 minutes at the end of the half or late in the game if you're behind. So I always say that when I grade teams, and I grade specifically the offense, I'm looking at their efficiency in the 2 minute and the 4 minute. Most people just look at the points. Well, the points are going to be based upon how you play it and how you match up. But at the highest level is, what is your ability in 2 minute? What is your ability in the 4 minute? And I think both are equally as impressive. And I think 4 minute is critical to protect your defense. And I don't think Alabama's quite there yet. And we'll see, just like with the defensive improvement, if they can improve that as the season goes along and towards the end, which where we expect them to be in the championship contention, that will likely be a big factor in determining whether they can finish the deal or not this year or not.
Chris up in upstate New York. Ask Chris if he's optimistic about South Carolina's future after watching the Saturday game with Alabama.
You know, here's what, in a short term, I like Helinski's ability to, again, spark in the offense. And here's the thing. They've got a huge buyout for Will. I know that's a lot of pressure. I had somebody prominent there that said that if they don't win at Missouri this week, that it's going to get even tougher and tougher. And look, I get it. Honestly, I think Will has some deficiencies as a head coach. Long term, I don't know that it's going to achieve the type of consistency in a what I would call an upper level developmental type program. I don't know that it's that. I'm really surprised that it consistently since he's been there that they haven't been better at defending the run and running the football, because I think that's part of what Will believes in and stresses. He's a good recruiter, but I don't think they consistently achieve. I think the North Carolina loss hurt, and I think only losing, I think, this week, and particularly next week against Kentucky. I'm telling you, those this week and next week, there may not be big games on the national stage or even regionally, but for Will Muschamp, they're big. And I'm not saying that he's going to lose his job or not, but I think losing those two games – on top of what they've already done and on top of the schedule that they have where they're going to lose teams that are better, I think it could get more and more uncomfortable for Will.
Couple quick ones here before we got to get to break, and we got to get Chris to let everybody know how they can get his information. Coach Marshall says, Chris, what about the LSU-Vandy game?
Well, I think LSU will be able to continue to move the football pretty effectively. Been a little surprised that Vandy's not done – a whole lot defensively all that well. I thought they, you know, listen, they're not overly skilled athletically, but they're not very well positioned early. I think they'll play a little bit better, but I think LSU will be able to score a bunch of points there, and I don't think Vandy will be able to keep up for very long.
Jim and Jupiter asked Chris if he thinks Brent Venables would be a good fit at Florida State as the head coach, and do you think that he would take the job?
You know, I don't know. It's certainly a good job. I think he would absolutely have to consider that. Why wouldn't you? But, you know, I'm trying to remember. He told me his boy there is, I still think, pretty young, like sophomore. He's got a son that plays at Clemson. I don't know if the timing's right. But, you know, that would be a tough decision for him. I think he's going to be a really good coach. You know, I don't have the answer there, but I think he'd be a really good coach. Listen, and you know, Bill, I'm sure you've talked about it. It's It's an awful lot of money they're going to have to pay off Willie, but I guess at some point you got to look at it. It may be too expensive to pay him off, but it may be too expensive to keep him too. I don't know how that's going to play out, but Brent, I think, certainly is looking for the right opportunity. I just don't know if that would be the right one. Maybe would be the right one, but maybe not the right time. I just don't know.
We got a lot of other questions we're not going to be able to get to, but appreciate everybody participating.
Listen, and you know what? Listen, Bill, I apologize for that, but if folks want to send me on Twitter, I answer them on Twitter if that helps. If it can't wait to next week, send it to me at Landry Football, and I'll answer them on Twitter for you. And sorry I so long-winded, I missed some of it. That's
no worries.
As you know, that's a flaw of mine. I know you got to run. Folks, check out LandryFootball.com, all the breakdowns, all the film room, all the podcasts. Real simple. And, again, follow me on Twitter, at LandryFootball.
Great stuff, Chris. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
There you go. LandryFootball.com. Keith Niebuhr coming up. We'll go Auburn and the Aggies as the topic as we continue Thursday edition. Goggin Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It's very heavy traffic flow here as we look at it live up through Williamson County, but it's moving on 65 northbound here up by Concord Road, 440 westbound at Nolensville Pike. In that construction, we got a minor accident. 600 block at Murfreesboro Pike getting some attention. We saw a wreck a few minutes ago on Ashland City Highway at Briley Parkway over in Bordeaux. Celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg this year during Oktoberfest, September 21st through October 28th. Check it out, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
Welcome back to CarMax Will Buy It. Let's jump right back into the action. A used minivan with 200,000 miles. Cassandra.
CarMax Will Buy It.
That's correct. The car you're driving now. Cassandra again.
CarMax Will Buy It.
You're on a roll. Any car at all, no matter what. Jerry?
Is the answer CarMax Will Buy It?
That's right. Because CarMax buys all the cars, no matter what. No questions asked. CarMax We'll buy it.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Sunny for this morning with an afternoon high of 93, cloudy overnight with a low of 66, and sunny tomorrow with a high of 90. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Lori.
Sports Radio WNSR.
America's first home for college football talk is the Bill King Show.
Hey, oh, let's go. Hey, oh, let's go. Hey, oh, let's go. Hey, oh, let's go. The ball is in the straight line. You're going through a tight one. You keep the little left mind. Let's keep up. The ball in the back seat.
We'll be at the Southern Steak and Oyster on Friday, tomorrow. Come on by. If you're coming into town, LSU fans or whoever, drop on in. We're just a block away from the Omni. West Coast Sooner tweeted me the other day and said, and he's a big Sooner fan, said, Bill, get Keith Bieber on to talk Auburn and the Aggies. And I thought, you know what? Good idea. I should have thought about that first. Keith, how you been, man?
I'm good. What's going on, brother?
You didn't know you had Los Angeles Sooner fans requesting you on the show. I bet you didn't know that.
Yeah, I barely have Auburn fans in Auburn requesting me, so that's good to hear.
Can you give us an assessment of Auburn Bo Nix through three games?
You know, he's got a long way to go. I think everybody will agree on that. But he's making progress, and, you know, he does have that it factor. You know, you're seeing little progress here and there. Is he still missing some guys downfield open, not seeing them? I don't mean misthrowing. But that's what you expect, Bill. I mean, the speed of the game is still there. I mean, it's still fast for him right now, but it is slowing down each week, and I think it's helped him that he's already faced two really good defenses. You know, Oregon's solid, and believe it or not, you know, people don't want to believe it, I guess, but if you open your eyes, you know that Tulane, if you've been following things, they actually have a pretty good defense, really good defense. So I think that helped him playing those in the first two games. It hurt him statistically, but I think it helps him in the long run because you've got a lot of guys that are going to be in the NFL on those two defenses. So he's getting there. You know, it hasn't helped him that the offensive line has had a few struggles here and there, and it hasn't helped him that a lot of the receivers have been hurt. But the offensive line seems to be playing better, and the receivers seem to be getting healthy. Now, I think it's a big deal if Seth Williams can play and play at full speed this week. Anthony Schwartz, the fastest guy in college football, you know, he's supposed to be getting closer to full speed. Eli Stowe's been very good. So, you know, those guys not only have to play, but they have to practice so he can get on the same page with them. Bill, but all things considered, I think he's in a nice spot, and he's making a lot of progress.
How big is this moment going to College Station for not only Bo Nix, the team, because this will be a very raucous environment?
Oh, yeah. You know, they say you can't simulate the speed of the game, right, until you're actually out there playing, because in practice, guys aren't going 100%. They're not going full speed. Same thing with crowd noise. You can't simulate that in practice. You can play Sweet Home Alabama all you want and practice as loud as you want. It's not going to make a difference when you go to Tuscaloosa. I mean, for a young guy. So that's going to be important on the coaching staff to get the plays in early. Everybody's going to have to communicate with each other better than they normally do. Everybody's going to have to be on the same page. It is difficult. It is difficult. That's, you know, but, you know, other than Bo Nix, you do have a veteran team. And that was why it was possible to play a true freshman at quarterback this year. We saw it at Georgia a couple of years ago with Jake Fromm. They had a veteran team around him that made life a lot easier for him and allowed his abilities to come out. And so Auburn's hoping the same thing happens. But it's going to be a tough environment, no doubt. A&M's going to be ready to go. They feel like they let that one slip away last year. I will point out, though, that Auburn was not in a great mental state when they played last year, Bill. Remember, Auburn had just lost at Mississippi State 2 weeks earlier, three or four weeks earlier, then turned around and lost to Tennessee at home, and then had gone to Ole Miss and won. But they weren't in a great place mentally. I think Auburn feels a lot better about itself right now, particularly that it already went to Texas and beat a good team in Oregon in the first week of the season. So it should be a good matchup.
Is the defense playing as well as anticipated?
You know, I think statistically things look pretty good, but I think that the struggles have been, and I don't want to say struggles, but early in the game, I believe that each of their three opponents has scored on the first drive. And so what's the deal there? Why is your opponent on the page, on the right page earlier in the game than you are? So that's one thing they're trying to correct. And I think there have been at times, now against Tulane, you look at the passing stats and Tulane didn't really throw for much, but there were some guys open. There were a couple drop touchdown passes. So I think that's one concern. And then another is, you know, to beat the best teams, Bill, you really got to get off the field on third and long. You got to be able to put pressure on the quarterback. So whereas Auburn has Nick Coe and Marlon Davidson, and of course Derrick Brown is probably a top 10 pick, you know, who has emerged as that third down pass rusher? And when you look at the best teams Gus has had, 2013 D Ford, you know, now an all pro in the NFL or a pro bowler in the NFL, And then the years where Carl Lawson was very good. And then Jeffrey Holland 2 years ago had an outstanding season when Auburn won 10 games and beat Alabama, Georgia. So who's that guy this year? Is it going to be T.D. Moultrie? Is it going to be Big Cat Bryant? Nick Coe's 285, 290 pounds. So while he can play the buck position, is he really going to be a guy on third and 14 that's going to get in there and harass the quarterback? So those would be the question marks.
As far as a Auburn historic type running game, is that sifting through now? Do we know what that looks like?
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, running back featuring a back who can dominate games. Is that guy, yeah. Does he exist?
You know, if he does, look, Jartavius Whitlow is a very good player.
Right.
Is he the guy that can dominate games? I don't know. But again, how good is the Auburn offensive line? They thought it would be really good. So far, it's been okay. So that has a lot to do with it, too. I mean, you don't get 1,700 yards, 1,800 yards like Trey Mason did in 2013 if you don't have guys like Reese Dismukes and people like that blocking for you. So I don't think we know yet, if that makes any sense, Bill, because we don't the line hasn't performed at its highest level yet, or maybe it has. So, again, we don't know yet. But, look, Whitlow's good enough, and I think they've got two true freshmen, Mark Anthony Richards, who's been hurt and isn't playing this week either, and then DJ Williams is a guy that they believe in quite a bit. So they have a lot of guys. It's more of a stable of backs. But Whitlow's good enough, I think. Is he that dominant guy? Hard to say. It doesn't seem like it, but he's pretty good.
Anybody in the SEC surprising you right now? Any team?
Well, let's see. That's a good question. Yeah, well, I think LSU's offense is a lot better than people thought, but they played one defense with a pulse. I think Georgia's really good. We're going to find out a lot more about them this week. Surprising me. Boy, I thought Tennessee would be better. That's not the good surprise. but saying that, Bill, I'm not ready to write them off yet. I don't think it's too late. I don't think there's been a huge surprise yet. Do you?
Not that I think, first of all, nationwide, the chalk is still the chalk, and I don't think anything's happened.
Sure.
I mean, matter of fact, maybe it's chalkier than we even thought it was.
Maybe a team to watch is Missouri. I know they were so horrible that first week, but I actually think they're still pretty good, and maybe they're a team to watch. But, I don't know who a true surprise would be yet.
Who do you think's better right now, Georgia or Alabama, today?
Oh, boy. Why do you have to ask the Auburn writer that? I can't win, Bill. Either way. I think Georgia, man for man, probably. But I've learned one thing. You don't count out Alabama in any game, okay? You don't. They've got so much talent across the board. But I think Georgia's probably, they look a little more balanced on offense. And what is Georgia's strength? The offensive line. What possibly could be Alabama's weakness? I hate even using the term weakness with Alabama, because it's not really a weakness. It's just the part of the team that isn't great. And that would be the defensive line. So I think Georgia there. But, Georgia's got a stiff test this week, too. So, but I think Georgia probably right now.
Keith Niebuhr from 24/7 Sports. Follow him on Twitter, all his work on recruiting. This guy's relentless, and it's a pleasure to have him on. Keith, appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, anytime. Take care, Bill.
There you have it. Keith Niebuhr. Yeah, that was West Coast Sooner. He is the one who sent me the message. Well, he tweeted it and said, Bill, how about this? Get Keith on. Talk a little Auburn and Aggies. West Coast Sooner tweets, Bill Elko, as in Mike Elko, who's, I think, one of the better defensive coordinators in college football. Big Mike Elko fan. Says, I think he's going to throw so many things at Knicks that he could end up being a deer in the headlights. Well, it's going to be an environment that he's never been part of. Doesn't mean he can't handle it. Doesn't mean he can't grow up. Jake Fromm did it. Now, again, Jake Fromm's really good. I'm not saying everybody can beat Jake Fromm, but we've seen young guys. Jake Fromm went to Notre Dame, acted like he'd been there 50 times. Now, the fan base that enveloped the stadium helped him too. It's not like Notre Dame had 100,000 there screaming down on him. Going to be interesting. Tickets at Primo Seats. Jeff, too, and a few others pulled it up this morning. If you go to Primo Seats, you can monitor the Georgia-Notre Dame tickets. The marketplace has brought it down some. According to Jeff, the maximum price was $7,000. That's down around $3,500 now. That was as of, what, about an hour plus ago? And the lowest price was around $350. Now, again, this was about an hour, hour and a half ago, so you might want to go check again. Monitor it, but you're getting some, well, I was about to say reasonable prices. I don't know if that's what you would call it or not, but those of you who want to go are willing to pay. Go to Primo Seats, and hey, when you're talking about that kind of money, 5% is a good number. Take the name Bill Iskin, put that name in the promo code box, and you'll get an additional approximate 5% off. That's for any of these games. Coming into town, LSU, Vandy. If you're heading down to Gainesville, Tennessee and Florida, over to College Station, Auburn, playing the Aggies, whatever, any game you're talking about, remember, go to Primo Seats, put in the name Bill is King, and get the additional 5% off. Concerts included, PrimoSeats.com. We'll get the break. We are clear, I'm pretty sure. Am I skipping? No. We're clear the rest of the way through hour number three. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It's heavy, but it's moving here as we check out the traffic here through Brentwood on 65 northbound, trying to get up past Concord Road. Had that earlier crash on 440 westbound at Nolensville Pike. Still just so much traffic now coming down from Ellington Parkway from the top to the bottom, coming in from West Nashville. Heavy, but moving. We just checked it for you there on 40 east up by Charlotte Pike. Around the neighborhood oil change, they come to you at home or work, saving you time and money. I've used these guys. They are the best. Call Around the Neighborhood Oil Change, 709-2645. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. And voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine. The most romantic steakhouse in Nashville, and won the Wine Spectator Award for the second consecutive year, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. That's 615-761-3707. Bob's Steak and Chop House, where complimentary valet parking is always available.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
I'm Eric O'Prun, Managing Director of the Omni Nashville Hotel. I want to personally invite you to experience the local flavor of Music City at our award-winning property. From our one-of-a-kind culinary outlet to the ultimate luxury of our full-service Mokara Spa, Omni Nashville offers something for everyone. Whether it's the biscuit bar in our Southern-inspired Kitchen Notes restaurant or our upscale honky-tonk bar lines, or if you prefer a romantic dinner, visit Bob's Steak and Chop House. Come on down and see us at 250 Fifth Avenue South, located in the heart of the SoBro District.
Westwood One is the exclusive home for Monday Night Football. Hi, everyone. This is Kevin Harlan. Join Hall of Famer Kurt Warner and me Monday nights to listen to all the thrilling NFL action. Aaron Rodgers, Saquon Barkley, Aaron Donald, Patrick Mahomes. The league's top players are on display on Monday nights right here.
Live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Off
often imitated, never duplicated. Wordsmithing like a mofo on college football, it's Bill King.
Gog in Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel. On Friday, tomorrow morning, we will be at the Southern Steak and Oyster, 7 until 9, 6 till 7. Crazy Charlie will host. Bill Bender will spend some time with him from the Sporting News, as will Price Atkinson. That's 6 to 7 tomorrow morning. 7 to 9, Southern Steak and Oyster. Brad Powers with me, hour number 3. Cosby Cattleman.
Bonjour, Monsieur King.
Bonjour.
Hey, Bill, I'm eating on one of these $1.79 with a coupon Frisco sandwiches out of Hardee's. It might not be a $20 Omni breakfast, but it's eating pretty good, as we say over here in Cosby. Or for the Peabody crowd, it's eating pretty well.
Oh. So it's $1.79, and it's a little croissant, right?
No, it's Texas toast, sausage, egg, cheese. I don't want to do a free commercial on you here, but I'm eating the probably best $2 biscuit I've ever had.
Now, Charlie will invoice Hardee's right after the show. No worries there. We'll get our money back for that.
Hey, there are health regulations at Charlie. I don't know if they'll let you come in with a beard down to your knees, Bill. They might not let him come in.
Hey.
They will over at Bongo Java Blue, though. Over at the Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders rally, they'll let you come in over there with your beard down to your knees.
How close is that Hardee's to where the popcorn is served?
About 22 miles.
Oh.
Hey, if you go 27 miles, you're in Buzz Peterson country over in North Carolina.
Does Buzz still live? Did Buzz move back there, or does he live there?
Buzz's got that. I know all our football fans love this, but Buzz, is he still doing that made-up job that Michael Jordan made for him? He gave him a made-up job with the Charlotte Bobcats last I heard. Buzz can't coach a lick, but all shucks, and he can sell some popcorn. Yeah, it's funny how North Carolina wins all these basketball games and we get Jerry Green and Buzz Peterson.
They didn't bring
How's that work, Bill?
They didn't bring the Natties with them, did they?
Hey, Peabody, for your Peabody listeners, they got Eddie Fogler.
He won an NIT.
Hey, Bill, at one time, Eddie Fogler was the king of Nashville, wasn't he?
I think that's a fair assessment. Yep.
Before the Titans hit town, Eddie Fogler, he got off to a hot start over there. He was a pretty hot dude, wasn't he?
Well, but you got to remember, it wasn't really the Titans. It was Eddie got into it with Houlihan and Vanderbilt because they wouldn't even return his calls about his contract. And South Carolina was wooing him. So he just said, the hell with it. I'm leaving. And that's what happened there. He got in a big snit. And he still lives in Columbia.
I want to talk football with you, Bill. What's he doing now? Is he still in basketball? Or is he on TV? What happened to him?
I'm pretty sure, because I've heard from him indirectly a couple times through the years. He's in the agency business. But he's one of those guys. Now, let me explain. He's in the business where he helps universities quietly, right, find coaches. He's in the coaching search business.
Yeah. The Parker firm down there in Atlanta and all that jazz.
He's in that business, yes.
Yeah. Those guys make a lot of money. You never see them on the sports page, do you?
They make a lot of quiet money. Yes, they do.
We got A3 over here. That's an agency over here in Knoxville. Get some of that. You might have heard of them. All right, Bill, let's go football.
Yeah.
Did you see that big read on Chris Lowe, former suck-up buddy, wrote on Kiffin on the ESPN last night? Did you see that?
I saw it, and I wanted to read it, and I never got to it. I really wanted to read that.
It's a good read, Bill. You know, I want to talk about this Tennessee-Florida game, Stallings and Mullen. But, you know, Bill, a lot of the Kiffin haters want to say he's not a good coach, but he did a great job. He beat Alabama that year, Bill. Fat butt, Mount Cody blocked 2 field goals. Got, I think it was 8-1 penalties on Tennessee, a bunch of offensive line. Alabama's offensive line hadn't had a holding penalty since 1947, I think.
Before Bear Bryant. Now, did Kiffin, yeah. Kiffin talked really fondly about his 14 months, though, didn't he?
Yeah, and you can read it. I won't go too far down that hole. But, man, Bill, I miss Kiffin. He's down there in the middle of nowhere. You get this call all the time from me. He's down there in the middle of nowhere, and Ole Miss is paying Matt Luke, what, $4 million a year?
Yep, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I heard every coach in the SEC West is making $4 million a year.
Now let me ask you this. Was there any mention in the article that Layla now misses the bikini scene on Lake Norris?
No, and Heather Harrington didn't make it either, Bill. You know, that's a name you might or might not know, but Heather Harrington didn't make the piece either.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, let's get on to yes. Tennessee, Florida here, Bill.
Yes, yes.
Okay, this AD that replaced Foley, Stallings. What's yes. his name again, Scott Stallings?
Who now?
That's his name, right? The AD at Florida, Scott. What's the guy's name again?
Scott Strickland.
Yeah. Strickland. Okay.
When you said Stallings, I didn't know if you were going Potty Mouth Stallings or who you were going with.
Oh, no, Scott Stallings is a big PGA golfer over here right. in Tennessee. I met a little.
Gotcha. Yeah, Scott Strickland.
Into
yes.
that. Scott
yes.
Strickland. Probably one of these, you know, cookie cutter ADs, got the buzz cut. Apparently he and Curry were buddies, and then Curry got blown up by Fatmer, and Curry's over at Wake Forest now, Demon Deacons. But, okay, Mullen, Bill. It looks to me like it's Georgia, Alabama in the SEC and everybody else.
Maybe LSU.
LSU's pretty hot there in the top five, right?
Yes, I would have LSU threatening there. I don't know if I think they can do it, but threatening.
Coach O was calling those guys over here, telling them not to enroll in school on the UT phone, but I'm trying to go forward, not in reverse. Bill,
yeah.
I don't know the Mullins. Okay, Mullen looks good, you know, coaching up these three stars, but I think the jury's still out on Mullen. What do you think about him?
Well, the jury is out in this capacity. Will he recruit well enough at Florida to put them back into the elite? And right now that's not happening.
And that's something you're not talking about a lot. At least I listen every day. The Florida fans are grumbling because he recruits three-star dudes.
You do get some grumbling there, correct.
I mean, think about that. You're down there in Florida. You can throw a rock and hit 25-star dudes, and Mullen's putting some Miracle-Gro on three-star dudes that he likes.
That's a good description.
Why would you do that? I mean, I thought the reason you go to Florida is you just got guys everywhere. And I guess what I'm saying is I don't think he looks very good on TV. He sure as hell doesn't look as good as Kiffin does down there in Boca. I mean, and Fatso Pat Dooley's saying, oh, he finished in the top 10 last year and this and that. But I think the jury's still out on Mullen. And right now, it looks to me like he's probably throwing – I think he's throwing up an 8-4. Do you believe in Trask, or are we going to see this Emory Jones joker?
Well, Chris brings up a very good point, and we've learned this through the years. Coming off the bench and being the hero is good. Don't get me wrong, but that's not the same as being the starter. And it's not the same as walking out there originally and being the guy. Sometimes those do not equal each other. We need to see more of him as the starter, and then we can make that assessment. We don't know. It's unclear to me.
Hey, Bill, you're not a football coach, and I'm not either last time I checked. And when you're a 14-point underdog on the road in the SEC, what do you think the best path to victory is? I got an idea for you, see if you agree with it. What do you think the best path to victory is? And it's not the Swamp anymore. They hadn't won an SEC championship in 10 years. It's a noon kickoff. The stadium will not be sold out. It's a great opportunity for Tennessee. If you're a 14-point underdog in the SEC, Bill, what do you do? I got an idea for you.
Run the football.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Play well in special teams.
Yes,
maybe the
coach Cafego would say that. Yes, play well special teams.
The football's kind of funny shape. It takes some weird bounces from time to time. I got a third idea, Bill.
Okay,
beat the hell out of them. Tennessee's got some big dudes. Kentucky's got better offensive and defensive line than Tennessee does. But if I'm Pruitt, I'm going in there and I'm saying let's just make these guys feel it on Monday. Let's just hit them to the echo of the whistle. Beat the hell out of them. Try to be the more physical team. I think we're looking at two bad quarterbacks. Garantano can't play. Geronimo, he sucks. So we're looking at two bad quarterbacks. Just go out there and be the more physical team.
There's an idea for you, man.
Hey, crazy to see crank up that Gator Country Molly Hatchet. Hang in there, Bill.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, he did right after that. He came back with a little Molly Hatchet yesterday. Delivered on the spot. Little Southern rock there from back in the day. You know what? I appreciate that music way more today than I did then in real time. When it was coming out back then, ZZ Top, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Molly Hatchet, I didn't appreciate it nearly like I do today. It was almost like it was too much Southern rock. It resonates better with me than it ever has today. All right, hour three coming up. We got plenty of time to chop it up. Omni.